2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run freely and be glorified, even as it does with you. So he's asking them to pray that his preaching of the gospel is successful. So if you preach, let's say you give out some leaflets and somebody responds and ends up being baptized, that's a result of all sorts of different factors, all sorts of different things. And one of them would be, in this case, that other people had prayed that God would bless your preaching. So this is the value of praying for other people and asking people to pray for us. It's as if it's another factor that God will hear prayer. And if not just you are asking for something, but other people are asking for it as well, then I'm not saying it sort of increases the chances that God will answer. That is not, I think, the right way to look at it. But all the same, there is some extra power in it, because otherwise, why is Paul always asking other people to pray for him? So we can do that. He's asking people to pray that his preaching gets response. And he asks them to pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, because all men don't have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you. He will build you up, he'll make you stable in your faith, and will guard you from all evil. And we are confident in the Lord about you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So we are waiting for Jesus to come back, but we are, of course, impatient, because as the days and weeks, months and years go by after our baptism, we easily forget that we are waiting and we get impatient. You remember the girls who went out in the parable to meet the Lord, and he delayed. They didn't take oil with them, and they went to sleep. They were not eagerly patient enough to remain awake. And so he prays that the Lord Jesus would do something to the hearts of these people in Thessalonica whom he'd baptized. He'd only been there for 3 Sabbath days. Probably only had really 3 days contact with them at the most before he baptized them, if that. And he's really concerned about them now that he's separate from them, away from them. And yet he can pray that Jesus would do something to their hearts. And we can also pray that Jesus would do something directly to our hearts and to the hearts or the minds of other people. In the Bible, when you read about the heart, it really means the mind. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother who walks in a disorderly way, and not according to the tradition which he received of us. And now he's going to explain what that tradition is, what that teaching is. Yourselves know how you ought to follow us. We did not behave ourselves wrongly amongst you, neither did we eat anybody's food for nothing, but we worked hard, night and day, so that we might not burden any of you. Not because we don't have the authority to ask you for money or for food, but in order to make ourselves an example to you, so that you should know how to imitate us. When we were with you, we told you this, that if anyone will not work, he is not to be given food. Because we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly way, that refuse to work, and are just nosy busybodies stirring up trouble. Those who are like this, we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus that with humility they work and eat their own food as a result of their own work. So what he's saying is that it's not right that somebody just doesn't work and expects the church to support them. There were clearly people like that in the early church in Thessalonica, and there are people like that today. And so when he says, keep away from people who don't walk or live according to what I said, it doesn't mean that you're to analyse everybody and say, oh, no, you're not living quite exactly how Paul taught. I'm going to get away from you, get out of here. Not at all. He's talking in this very specific context about a group of people who were coming to the church demanding to be given food and money when they were lazy and refused to work, and they were the very people who were stirring up trouble in the church. And so Paul is saying, just withdraw yourselves from them, have nothing to do with them. And that's the equivalent of what you have in Proverbs, which was Solomon writing to Israel, all of whom were within the people of God. And he says to the wise man, just keep away from the foolish person. Keep away from the busybody. Keep away from the gossiper. Just keep away from them. Even though those people were within the body of believers at that time. And that's how we should be. You've got to choose your friends, even amongst those who call themselves Christian. But you, brothers, don't be weary in doing good. And if anyone doesn't obey what we're saying here in this letter, note that man and have no company with him, so that he might be ashamed. And yet don't count him as an enemy, but encourage him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. At all times, in all ways, the Lord be with you all. So again, this is his prayer that Jesus would act directly on their hearts, in this case, giving them peace. The signature of me, Paul, with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, that's how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So I think he had a problem with people forging letters and claiming, ah, yeah, this is what Paul said, and they signed it by Paul. I said, ah, this is a letter from Paul, when it wasn't. Because Paul's letters were written by the Spirit of God. And so he says, look, here's my signature. And that's how I sign off every letter, because he's spoken in chapter 2 of how they should not be frightened even if they get a letter apparently from Paul saying Jesus is going to come, for example, next month at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, the whatever, 20th of Nisan. No, he's saying don't listen to people like that. I didn't write those letters. So you see all the problems that he had, things were not just quite as simple as we might ideally imagine, that Paul preached the gospel, people were baptized, how wonderful. Yeah, he did, but look at all the difficulties that he had, what he calls in another place, the care of all the churches that comes upon me daily.